But welcome to everybody to an evening where we're celebrating everything Matt Monro, as you probably already know. Just a little piece of trivia before we carry on is it's actually 50 years this week that Gonna Build a Mountain was released as a single in the UK. So for those of you who remember that release date, you're older than you look. And we're here to celebrate the release of both the new paperback book, which we'll hear about more of later, and also a new 4-CD set called The Singer's Singer. This is a fantastic set, remastered by Richard Moore to an extremely high quality, and will be available in the shops very, very soon. Contains 100 tracks, and every one is absolutely sensational. And also some very, very rare TV adverts that Matt sang back in the 60s. The Wonder of Woolies, and things like that, I still remember. And the other thing we got is this new format bookazine. It's not a book, it's not a magazine, it's a bookazine. Comes with a 20-track CD, which contains 4 tracks which have previously never been available on CD, so this is a real coup and exclusive. And more importantly, it comes also with an absolute replica 7-inch single of Portrait of My Love, which is, of course, Matt's first big hit. So I hope you're all going to enjoy yourselves this evening. I'm going to hand you over now to Katie Wilde from Titan Books.
Sales of the book to date. to come again.
Before I speak, I've been asked, someone very special has turned up and would like to say a few words. She worked with Daddy many, many times, knew each other from the old days, and was one of his great friends. Will you please give a warm welcome to Miss Anita Harris?
He was such a talented gentleman, but because he was a fabulous guy. And Mike and I, my husband and I, were with Pete Murray the other day. He senses love. He couldn't be here tonight, but he did want me to say the memories of, it actually seems like a couple of weeks ago that we were all in EMI Studios with Norman Newell, and I was with John Barry. It was my first. Golly, I was about 18, I think. So the memories are very true. And the fact that his music, Matt's music, has brought us all together is wonderful. He was just a little poem that some of the words of Pete Murray and a poem by Mike. In memory of Matt, a wonderful guy, whose voice could raise us to the sky. His songs and singing live forever. Perfect, inspiring, and musically clever. Every time Pete introduced Matt, the radio waves would purr like a cat. Matt, the master, was the perfect singer, much admired by the great ring-a-ding-dinger. Yes, it was Frank Sinatra who famously said, "Matt Monro is the perfect singer. His pitch is sublime, and he is also a swimmer." Can you imagine the duets in heaven? Matt and Frank singing Ocean's 11. Yes, Matt will be with us for all time, and we can always tune in to that voice, sublime. Lots of love.
When I was on my way here today, I got a phone call literally outside from this gentleman, and he's asked me to write it down in the middle of the street. He rang me from Spain, and he said, "I'm so sorry I can't be with you tonight, but it was the only week's break I could take before Strictly kicked off in full force. Matt was one of the finest singers in the world, and even when I'm in Puerto Rico, I listen to him on an American radio station's program called Singers and Swing. I often hear Matt with the special tone and that lovely phrasing that was so unique. He was one of my best friends, and I'll always miss him. My love to you all, Brucey Baby." First, I'd like to thank everyone for coming and sharing in this very exciting night for me. There was one main reason for writing this book. I had this awful thought that if I died, my son Max would never know more than his grandfather was a great singer. He would know nothing of the stature of the artist or what Matt Monro brought to his profession. He would be ignorant of his true roots and unaware of the great esteem that everyone held for his grandfather. I wanted Max to know the man behind the song. Getting the book published wasn't easy. Not because the publishing houses weren't interested, but because there seems to be an unwritten law that a book has to be no more than 75,000 words. As I told one publisher, that's the size of my index. I was looking for a company that could think outside the box, one that would allow the whole story to be told and not just stick to a predetermined format. Then, of course, I wanted dozens of photographs scattered throughout the pages, not just a few pictures grouped together in the middle of the book. I'm greatly indebted to Titan Publishing, who helped me realise my dream. a company that put quality above cost. I'm not saying it was an easy ride, but I think the end result is something we can all be proud of. I'd like to thank the whole team, not just Katie Wilde and Tim Whale for steering the project, but Lizzie, Chris, Hannah and Sophie, the creative team who made the pages come to life. The book was 4 years in the making, and in January of last year, I remember standing in a spot very much like tonight, thanking everyone for coming. Since then, the book has exceeded all my expectations and even won a literary award in the States. We've also released an unabridged version of the CD, Words and Music, and tonight sees the launch of not just the paperback, but the ebook as well. It's just wonderful that there is still so much interest in the music of Matt Monroe. Tonight, there's also another cause for celebration, in that EMI have re-released the 4-CD set of the same name. It originally came out 10 years ago, but was limited to 3,000 copies. Despite the hefty price, it flew off the shelf, so it was thought a nice idea to bring it to the table again, but this time totally remastered and at a more affordable price. I have to say, I get congratulated all the time and receive the most wonderful emails and letters thanking me for keeping the musical legacy alive and for bringing interesting and unusual projects to the table. I'm glad that what has been done, especially over the last 10 years, seems to have ticked all the right boxes. But unfortunately, I can't take all the credit. Steve Wolf and I first came together for the original release of The Singer Singer, and from there we've gone from strength to strength, adding a few more gold discs to the collection along the way. But without Steve's enthusiasm and support for the project, and allowing me to stick my nose into his area of expertise, it wouldn't have come to fruition. We have conspired, collaborated, and released many wonderful collections over the last decade, and I have to say, Matt Monroe's catalogue is the richer for the relationship. It was, in fact, Steve who finally persuaded me to write the book and said he felt it would ensure the book's historical accuracy. There are many record companies who would have allowed full and unrestricted access to their archives, and I am indebted to Steve for granting me permission to use any of the material that I felt would enrich the project. Without his generosity of spirit, most of the rare and unreleased photographic materials would not have seen in the book. My heartfelt thanks has to go to Richard Moore, who's been my right arm, my co-conspirator, my rock and my confidant. We have spurred each other on, leaving no stone unturned when it came to looking for that vital piece of information or a lost television appearance. And without his expertise, the quality of recordings in the marketplace just wouldn't be in the class they are. There are, of course, plenty of sound engineers around, but Richard loves what he does, and that shines through. Nothing is too much trouble, and he will work on one audio snippet for hours until he thinks it's the best it can be. He is a unique individual, and everyone should be lucky enough to have such a friend in their lives. Lastly, I have to thank the most important person, my mum, Mickey. She's the reason that Matt Monroe is the power that he is today. I would like to thank her for all the years she made my dad so very happy in allowing him to follow his dream, and for all the years she allowed me to follow mine. I love her deeply and was devastated that she couldn't be with us last year at the hardback launch to share in the glory of bringing the project to fruition after 4 long years. Sadly, Mum passed away last February, but she did see the book before she went and was immensely proud of it. She loved the fact that it would sit in the British Library for all time, and whereas Dad's CDs preserve the legacy of his music, the book immortalises the man. It also sits in the archives in institutions like the BBC, Reuters and EMI, and it's a great feeling. It means the legacy that Matt Monroe left behind will continue to burn brightly well after I'm gone. I would just like to mention that my son Max and his girlfriend Justine are running the 10-kilometre Moor Park run on the 25th of September in memory of Armand Rickey, with all the proceeds going to Macmillan Cancer Support. Full details are available on the front desk if you'd like to make a small donation. And I know my mum joins in with my son, brother and myself in thanking all of you for your continued support and for helping make the singer's singer the best it could be. My brother has also been instrumental in preserving Dad's legacy over the years. When he was only 11, Dad pulled him up on stage in Jersey and they sang a duet together. The spell was cast and he knew he wanted to repeat the experience. Sadly, it wasn't meant to be, but he was slightly mollified when, through modern technology, he had the opportunity to record Matt Sings Monroe, a duet album with Dad. His passion for music continued, and he now tours the world, bringing his own style of music to the table. He's broken into his current overseas schedule to be with us all tonight, which was wise, as I'm impossible to live with if I don't get my own way, as Titan and Nehemiah will tell you. So could I ask you all to put your hands together and give a warm welcome to my brother, Mr. Matt Monroe Jr.
We've reached the end of a glorious evening. I'm going to grab a few words with Bernadette Harper. No, I am Bernadette. I am Bernadette. Have you enjoyed the evening?
Very, very much. Very much. Really.
So, thumbs up there. Graham, your thoughts?
I thought it was really interesting. Really good. Yeah, it was nice.
So we had Gerard Kenny performing. We had Matt Munro Jr. performing. We obviously had Anita Harris doing the whole thing. Favourite parts?
I absolutely loved... I didn't catch the man's name. I thought the last entertainer was...
Gerard Kenny, New York, New York. So good they named it twice.
I love it. I just didn't know him. I thought he was absolutely stunning. The tribute he did was brilliant. The way he actually made them go to, together.
So is it back up to Coronation Street, Land Graham?
Yeah, I was more interested in this.
And Sheila, while Shane is sorting through all sorts of things, we know they need decent sound systems at EMI.
We certainly do at EMI. It's disgraceful. But I hear a word they were singing.
Yeah, it's slightly ironic, isn't it? You know, one of the world's premier recording areas. Can they get their acoustics right? No.
But it was a beautiful tribute. Beautiful tribute.
And absolutely hats off. Precisely. Bernadette, Graham, Shane is currently in all sorts of conversation. And Sheila, many thanks indeed. I'm sure we'll speak as well. We'll speak with Michelle as well. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stay happy.
Well, I'm sure next week we will be reflecting in positive form as ever with Michelle about a fantastic evening. But clearly, given the early speeches, we had to actually pay full tribute to the legend that is Richard Moore. Richard, good to meet you in person, so to speak.
Thank you very much.
It's been a cracking evening, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's been brilliant.
I mean, Gerard Kenny, Colin Keyes, Matt Munro Jr., whole heap of things there. Anita Harris, of course, Esther Ranson, Graham Harper, Shane Rimmer, and Galaxy of Stars.
Buddy Greco, Kenny Lynch.
Of course, yeah. Favourite highlights for yourself?
Probably Gerard, to be honest. He was fantastic.
And Gerard, Gerard, so good they named him twice.
Indeed, absolutely. What else could you say? It was fantastic. And just doing the sound for somebody like Gerard is fantastic, you know.
Sound, I must admit, I thought it was interesting as far as here we are, EMI, history of all sorts of things, etc. Maybe they could have just sorted out the acoustics a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of a problem with the ceiling here, to the point that it's sort of 5 stories high and made of glass, but there you go.
You are the expert in such things, Richard. That's why I wanted to raise it.
It's sort of natural reverb, but perhaps just a little bit too much, but there you go.
The key question, of course, that the listener is keen to actually follow through is when Michelle hopefully sets off on her global jaunts from January onwards. We're still hopeful we'll be able to use satellite technology to connect with her, but are you set to step into her footsteps and provide a weekly update on the 5 through 6 slot on the siren?
I most certainly can, and we have another thing. We are going to pre-record some things as well and get them sent to you so you don't feel Michelle-less for
a while. We've actually met two fine folk from Lincoln who actually recognised me as being the voice of the show. Two Lincoln Tales have actually made their way down here, so great stuff.
Well, that's brilliant. That's excellent. That's just what you want, isn't it?
Precisely. Richard, it's been fabulous as ever. I'm going to hopefully sort of head off into the sunset now. Do give Michelle and the team my very, very best. A fantastic night. Well done.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you.